Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed His presence in this place, and now you're ready to just open up and let God speak to you through the preaching of His Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll be reading verses 1 down to verse 5, and then looking at verse 13. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. And as I read, you follow right along with me. Acts 13, verse 1. The Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry." Now look down to verse 13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, again, we thank You, Lord God, for all that we've already experienced in just being in this place. The most important of all is Your presence. Thank You for that. And now, Father, as we've opened up Your Word, and Lord, as we look into this passage of Scripture, I just pray that You would just prepare each one of us to receive that which You have for us. I pray, God, that You would anoint me and use me once again as an instrument in Your hand to bring forth Your message from to Your people, from Your Word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 13, it says, "And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." This would be John Mark. And the Bible says that he departed from serving with Paul and Barnabas and the missions team, and he returned to his hometown of Jerusalem. If you will, he quit and returned home. Now, this was Paul's first missionary journey. Paul, that would be known as the greatest missionary of all time. As we look, Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. Paul's journeys around just spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing souls saved and New Testament churches established. What a great example as a missionary, and for all missionaries even today. And this would have been his first missionary journey. Paul had been called out by the Holy Spirit of God. God says, "I had a purpose for his life and Barnabas as well in this great New Testament church of Antioch." And on his first missionary journey, there's no doubt he would have questioned everyone that was going to be part of this very important ministry team. He realized what he would have to endure. He realized what he would have need of in preparing this team to go across the lands and to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so each would have committed, that would have made up this missionary team, each one would have committed to it and would have been able to tell Paul that, "I believe this to be God's will. I believe this to be God's will. This is what God is working in my heart and life, and I believe God would have me to join your missionary team to be able to be a part of this great work of serving the Lord." Well, just a short time into the journey, John Mark quits. And my question would be, and I trust that your question would be as well is, why? How could this happen? Very important. I mean, this was a godly endeavor. This is something that God was working, and they all knew it, this to be the will of God. And everyone on this team understood that this was the will of God, and God was reaching, they was part of reaching the world with the gospel. How does this happen? And all of us here, I'm believing that you understand spiritual warfare. And yes, we are battling an adversary. Satan is very much alive and well. I know that he is very powerful. But how does he work? How was he able to convince John Mark to quit this missionary endeavor and to return home? How did he get the victory in John Mark's life? And I believe once we study this, we'll find how he gets the victory in others' lives and so many people's lives that quit serving God. They quit doing what they know God would have them to do and try to return back to the life that they used to live. We know that John Mark was serious about serving the Lord at first. We know that he was able to convince Paul. Now, he was Barnabas' nephew. And so we know that he was serious and he was able to convince Paul that, hey, this is something that I'm prepared to do. This is something that I'm committed to. If you will, now in chapter 15, in Acts chapter 15, adds a little bit of insight into this story and the truths that we're going to be looking at this morning. After the first missionary journey, they return. They get ready to go out on a second missionary journey. And the Bible says in verse 36, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Chapter 15 of Acts and verse 36, now verse 37. "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." So John Mark. "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Paul was in disagreement with John Mark as far as leaving. Paul said that, I chose you. You convinced me it was God's will for your life. And I put this missionary team together. And now in the midst of this, very early on in this journey, you're going to come to me and you're going to quit? And you want to return home and leave the rest of us one man short? And by Paul's response to Barnabas later on, by saying, I think we ought to give him a second chance. I think that he's ready now to do it the second time. And Paul said, this is too important to work. I can't take a chance on John Mark. He quit once. What's going to keep him from quitting a second time? He left us short-handed, and we had a very important work to do. And it put more responsibilities on everybody else that was on this missionary team. I don't care how sincere he might be now and how sincere he was then. Evidence was that, I mean, the truth of the matter is he quit and went home. And Paul says, I don't think it's God's will for us to take him with us. Now, God was working in this, and we find that Barnabas was so determined to take him with him that Paul and Barnabas split up, and now we have two missionary teams going out. And God allowed something even that we would look at as being negative for something good to come out of it. Amen. We're in the life of Joseph on Wednesday night in great Bible study of the life of Joseph. Because God is able to work all things out to good. God is able to do that for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And so we find that God did work it out for John Mark. But Paul said, no, he was supposed to be involved in the work, and he quit and went home. Gives us a little more insight into this. He couldn't have peace and joy about doing anything else. When he went home, he came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When he got home, he realized that he made a mistake. And if you're saved, when you get out of the will of God, because of the conviction and chastisement, you're going to realize, I made a mistake. I need to get back into the work. But how did it happen? How did he fail? What happened to John Mark is what happens to a lot of people today. And so let's study three things I want to reveal to you concerning where he failed. The first thing that he failed in, and many of us will, if we're not careful, will be tempted to fail in, is that John Mark failed to recognize the importance of his task. Or he failed to recognize the importance of his contributions. Now, Acts in chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says that they added John Mark to their ministry. Now, the ones that God had called out to preach the Word of God would have been Paul and Barnabas. And somewhere along the line, as they were preaching, and John Mark evidently thought that, hey, my contribution is very little. They wouldn't even miss me if I weren't here. And everybody was looking to Paul and Barnabas. Everybody was looking to them for their leadership and their preaching. And my task is very minimal. Surely I can go home. In verse 13, the Bible says, and when Paul and his company... Now we find not only is Paul and Barnabas were the ones preaching, but it's called Paul and his company. Surely if it's Paul and his company, Paul is the most important one. For him to have left the team, he would have convinced himself that his contributions were not important. Anybody can do what I do. They don't need me. Now, it's not true. Can I tell you that this church, in order for this church to accomplish all that God has for this church to accomplish, we need everyone that God sends to this church. We need everyone that is a member of this church sitting in these pews every opportunity that you have available. We need the talents, we need the spiritual gifts that God has given to you, and we need your contribution in order for this church body to accomplish all that God has for this church body to accomplish. We need everyone that God sends here, for it's God's will for you, if He sends you here, to use those gifts, to use those talents, and whatever that contribution might be. But Satan's going to try to convince you that they won't even miss me if I don't show up. Anybody can do what I do. And even sometimes, he'll even tell you that they're better off without you. Not only did John Mark quit on Paul, not only did John Mark quit on his own uncle Barnabas, not only did he quit on every other person that was a part of that ministry team, he quit on God's will for him. He quit on God's will for his life. God had him there in the beginning to do that task, whatever that would have been, that Paul talked to him about. No doubt, as organized as Paul was, Paul would have given him a list of expectations. Paul would have given him exactly what to expect, exactly what he needed from him, and this is your job, this is your position, be faithful to this position. He would have done that. But even understanding that, he said, They don't really need me. I don't have to. For me to quit won't affect them at all. But can I tell you, it would have affected them. It would have affected every member of that missionary team. It would have opened the door for Satan to discourage. It would have opened the door for Satan to work to be a hindrance. It would have put a little bit more on every one of the other members of that team. God had a purpose for John Mark to do his part. It was God's will for him to go, to be a part of that church, and to be a part of that ministry team. And he did not have the backing of Paul to go home. It was not God's will. Paul did not see it as God's will. Barnabas would not have seen it as God's will for him to leave. Listen to me. It wasn't God's will for him to leave. It was God's will for him to do his job. Serving God in whatever that task would be, to just give what God had for him to give. Because who knows what his part would have led into. When I first got back in church and dedicated my life to serving God, whatever his will was, he put me in a jet cadet class. Saturday, giving up my Saturdays to work with little 9, 8, 9, 10 year olds. It's like somewhat like our Awana program today. They had it on Saturdays in the afternoon, every Saturday, to be faithful to this. And I'm thinking, I could have been thinking, anyone can do this. They don't need me. I remember the one time I convinced my wife that they didn't need us. And I took my brother-in-law's boat, and he let me take it, and we took it out to the lakes. And the whole time I'm thinking, they don't need me, and the Spirit of God saying, it's God's will for you to be there because you're in training right now. I have a purpose for you, and those kids need you. They depend on you. I just kept putting it off. And I was wanting to impress my girlfriend at that time and how I could handle this boat and how I could go across. And we hit a big wave, and the wave turned the boat upside, almost flipped over. She sat on the right side of me, or on the other side of the steering wheel, and the boat, when it flipped up, I was closest to the water, and she let go and come and hit me. And what she did is grabbed hold of me and pulled me out of the boat with her. Now we're both in the water. No one's on the boat. And I come up out of the water because I could swim. She couldn't even swim. And I'm panicking, thinking she can't swim. And I come up out of the water, and there she is over there. There was a life jacket that fell. She didn't have it on, but it fell out with her. And she's holding on to this life jacket. God said, it's your fault. I'm not giving you a life jacket. You just... So I'm treading water here, and she's got the life jacket, and I look up, and the boat, when I went over, I pulled off the gear shift. It's in my hand when I went over. And I pulled the steering wheel over, and so now the boat motor is locked in a position, and it's just going around us. Nobody's on the boat. And the boat is just making circles right around. We're right in the middle of it. And it kept getting closer. And they told me afterwards that the week before, somebody had fallen out of the boat, and the boat did the same thing and actually run over them. And the propeller cut off part of their legs. So I'm in the boat. I'm in the water. My wife's in the water. She's got her life jacket. I'm treading water. The boat's going, what do I do? How can I? Lord, I'm sorry. I know I should have been a jet cadet. And it's amazing how God uses different ones. But there was two drunks and this old fishing boat come around. They say, hey, you need some help? And he takes his fishing boat and he rams into the boat, jumps up on it and pulls it out. The whole time I was thinking, should have been jet cadets. But I didn't think they needed me. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't teaching. I was just kind of working with the kids. Don't let Satan convince you of that. He failed to recognize the importance of his contributions. Why God had him there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see this before we go any farther. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is the last book that Paul would write before Paul would die for his witness of Christ. He's in prison. He's in jail. And his last request was this. One of his last requests in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Just like everyone else had forsaken him, he says, only Luke is with me. But he writes to Timothy, he says, only Luke is with me. But he says, take Mark, John Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. God had a plan for John Mark. God was going to use John Mark, and he was going to make him very profitable, even for the great Apostle Paul later on in his life. God had him there to do what he was to do. It might have seemed kind of trivial at the time, but that was proving ground. That was preparation time. God had him there because God says, this is what I want you to do now. But stay focused on my will for your life because I have plans for you. But if Satan gets you out of serving God today, listen to me, you'll never accomplish those plans. I've had some parents even say, well, let the kids go. They don't need me to go with them. Let the wife go. Let them go. They're better off without me being there. Now, you might try to convince yourself of that, but look, can I tell you, it is not God's will for you to leave your life. It is not God's will for you to let your children go. Your children need you there. Your wife needs you there. Your husband needs you there. Well, I don't do anything. If you're here, that is part of God's will for your life. And if you would submit to God's will for your life, just coming and being a part of the services is a beginning to possibly being used by God in greater ways. You quit on God, you'll never experience that. He failed to recognize the importance of his contributions. The second thing he did, and I find a lot of people do the same thing, he failed to count the cost. Acts in chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, it gives us a little bit more insight into John Mark. Acts in chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Peter had been placed in prison, and they had been praying that God would deliver Peter, and God delivers Peter. And look what it says here in Acts in chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people, the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. This is John Mark, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Mark was raised in a house where they prayed. Mark was raised in a house where they experienced God. He saw Peter. He understood what happened to Peter. Mark now looks at Paul and Barnabas. He sees these two giants of the faith. He wanted to be like them. He possibly interviewed to go and committed to going because he wanted to be like Paul and Barnabas. He wanted people to look to him like they looked to Paul and Barnabas. Thought it would just be the limelight. But the traveling was tough. There were fears. Traveling then is not like traveling today. There were the elements of traveling. There were bandits. There was all kind of wild animals. There was fear in traveling. There were doubts as to if they were going to make it or not. Paul writes many verses in Scripture concerning his travels. There was the fatigue. It was work. It was hard. There was much opposition. It was too hard for Mark. He thought it was going to be limelight. He thought everyone was going to look to him and as he looked to Peter. And they thought everybody would look to him as he looked to Paul and Barnabas. And it was going to be a position that everybody would look to and say, hey, what great people you are. What a great saint you are. And he went with the wrong expectations. He failed to count the cost of travel. Count the cost of ministry. Count the cost of When you're trying to do the will of God, can I tell you that Satan is going to work harder to keep you from doing that than anything else that you'll ever do? The moment you commit to serving God, the moment you commit to being the Christian that God wants you to be, the moment you commit to God and are serious about being that kind of a father, that kind of a mother, that kind of a parent, that kind of a teenager, teenagers who just come back from camp and you made some commitments at camp, can I tell you that you're in for a battle? Because Satan now is going to work as hard as he can to keep you from fulfilling those commitments to God. And if you don't count the cost as far as what it's going to take for you to remain faithful to God and become the young people that God wants you to be, you'll fail. What God's will is for your life. It's too hard for Him. Being too hard is no excuse to quit. If you know it's the will of God, it's no excuse to quit. I remember when I went to Bolivia, I met one of the missionary families there. He had come out of Canada and he was going to Bolivia to work with Bud Rader in the mission field. Had his wife and two children. And he said, you know, when I first committed to coming to Bolivia, he says, I was looking for an adventure. He said, I thought, what a great thing it would be to become missionaries going to a place like Bolivia. And the adventures of the land, the adventures of meeting the different people. Says, I looked at it and I was excited about the adventures of becoming a missionary. On his flight with his family from Canada to Bolivia, it was hijacked. And he said, during the time the hijackers were coming through the cockpit, and he had guns, pulled out guns, and he said, they was telling everybody, if you want to live, stay quiet. He said, I had my wife and my two children, and they were hijacked and taken to a different destination. He said, during that time, he said, I thought, I don't want adventure. If this is what adventure is, I'm not in for this. And he said it worked out, and they had it all worked out where they was able to get to the place, the mission field of Bolivia. And he said, I got into this thinking that it was going to be for an adventure. I stayed in Bolivia because I knew it to be the will of God. If it's the will of God, being too tough is not an excuse. Our own missionaries, the Lindsays, Marcos and Stephanie, when they were over in Peru, they come up out of the bank and they were learning the land. They come out of the bank and got into a taxi cab. The taxi cab driver was in cahoots with a couple other thugs. And he took them into the taxi cab, went to a place where he stopped the car, and these other thugs, robbers, got in on both sides of the taxi cab. And Marcos and Stephanie was in the middle, and they put sacks over their heads and drove them to another destination. And Marcos and Stephanie, this time they're in Peru. They're not in the United States. They're on a foreign land, foreign field. And they had these sacks over their heads, and they said that all the whole time they were thinking about their children. What would happen to their girls? Said they thought they were going to kill them. They robbed them. Took everything they had. And then took them to another destination and dropped them off. What kept them on the mission field? When you surrender to the mission field, you don't bargain for those titles. You don't think that's part of it. Surrendering, God's going to watch over us. We're going to go and everyone's going to get saved. And we're going to build churches and it's all going to be a blessing. What happens when you get hijacked? What happens when you get robbed? What happens when you fear for your life? Not knowing if your children are going to have a mom and dad to go home to. Was there thoughts of quitting, coming home? No doubt. No doubt. What kept them on the field of Peru? The will of God. The will of God. failed to count the cost. Plan on it being hard. Plan on it being hard. 1 Peter chapter 4. Well, it's just too hard to be a Christian. It's too hard to live right. It's too hard to be the right kind of a wife, the right kind of a husband, the right kind of a parent. It's too hard to be involved in church. Too hard to serve the Lord. Too many restrictions. Too many of this and too much of that. Plan on it. Christ never one time promised it'd be easy. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter, and there's many verses, but in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial," not just a trial, but a fiery trial, "which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings." He told his disciples, if they persecuted me, don't think it strange when they persecute you. Count the cost. Nowhere in Scripture you find it's going to be a bed of roses when you get saved. It's just the opposite. Satan is going to come at you with both barrels. But what God did promise is He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Stephanie was telling me, she said, and the whole time when they had this sack over, it said Marcos tried to fight to start with, and so they was both on both sides, and with all they might have had a gun and different things. And she said, when she had that, she was just praying, and she was praying to God, and she said, there was one of the robbers that said, "Don't touch her, leave her alone." She thought they might have been looking to rape her. And God gave her peace. And she said, even though he was a robber, he was one of my angels. Amen. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to watch over us. He's promised to give us the grace to help in our time of need. Don't quit. Don't go home. Don't go back to that old lifestyle. If you're saved, you can't live there. You're not going to have peace there. Count the cost. Plan on it being hard. Plan on it. The last thing. He failed to recognize the importance of his task. He failed to count the cost. The last thing is he failed to keep looking forward. Why did you give yourself an option of going back? He returned to Jerusalem, verse 13, his hometown. Israel in the wilderness, they kept thinking about Egypt. Instead of focusing on Canaan land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and the promises of God being here in Canaan land, when it got tough, they kept looking behind. And can I tell you, your remembrance of the past, most of the time, it's not as good as you remember it to be. You remember all the pleasures and you try to block out all the negatives. And Satan will make it seem like it was a lot better before you got saved, before you committed to serving God. And you give yourself an option going back. He failed to keep looking forward. See, we must have faith to believe that there are future blessings. No matter what you're going through now, can I tell you, the Marcos and Steph have established churches over there. They've seen many saved. They continue to see God work. They're seeing the hand of God upon their lives. because they pressed toward the mark for the prize. They didn't look back to the United States. They didn't look back to the comfort of being back home. They continued to look forward, and they looked forward, pressing toward the mark for the prize that God had for them. Have faith. Turn away from being a double-minded man. As James says, sometimes we try to have both. I'm going to have this life when I'm away from church and church people, and I'll have this life when I'm at church and around church people. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't serve God and mammon. You've got to make a decision. In closing, I want to show you an illustration of one of the greatest men I believe that ever lived in his early years, and that's Solomon. 2 Chronicles in chapter 8. What went wrong with Solomon? And God gave him wisdom, God gave him wealth, God blessed him. For 20 years, he was the greatest king, and God prospered him. He built more cities, had more gold and more goods, had the blessings of God upon his life. 2 Chronicles, chapter 8. 20 years into his ministry, 20 years of being king, things started changing. Solomon tried to have a double life in the beginning. Turned out to where he turned away from God and just went towards strange women and strange gods. 2 Chronicles chapter 8 verse 11, this is where it started. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. He took the daughter of Pharaoh, who did not believe in the God of Israel, who had a different form of worship, a different lifestyle. But David tried to have both. I mean, Solomon tried to keep both. He tried to have a house where he went to worship God. The house that he built, the temple that he built. But when he married this other woman, and he married several wives, the wives turned his heart against God, but especially this one, he said, I can't bring her here. This is a holy place. And she's not a holy woman. She does not have the same conviction. She does not have the same love for God. I'm going to build her a separate house because I can't bring her home. We think of that, we say, Solomon. And yet, Satan is using the very same tactics in so many other people's lives today. Double-minded man. Well, this is what I'll be when I'm around church. And this is what I'll be when I'm away from church. Can't mix the two. Eventually, Solomon went the ways of Pharaoh's daughter. John Mark failed. Failed to stay focused on what's ahead. Can I tell you this morning, Satan uses these very same things. Failed to recognize the importance of his contributions. He failed to count the cost. He failed to keep looking forward. Stay focused on God's will. Commit to it. Don't quit. Don't fail to do what all of us must do. To stay in the will of God. Learn from the failures of John Mark. if I could have ever head bowed and ever eye closed. Where are you at today? All three of these, Satan working on. All three of these in your life. Maybe you can just identify with one or two. You're not only failing on your family, you're not only turning your back and quitting on your family, turning your back and quitting on your church, you'll be quitting on God's will for your life. Don't quit. Stay in the battle. Look to do what God wants you to do. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you'd work now in our midst. Lord, as you spoke to each one as they had need to be spoken to, I pray that they would be willing now to make whatever decisions that need to be made. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.